Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We're going to protect vaccinated workers from unvaccinated coworkers. We're going to reduce the spread of COVID-19 by increasing the share of the workforce that is vaccinated in businesses all across America.
Would you get it?
Well, I think that's going to be an issue for all of us.
When we finally do, God willing, get a vaccine, who's going to take the shot? Who's going to take the shot? You can be the first one to say, put me, sign me up.
This is the Trevor Carey Show.
Did you burn out to the end?
On the Valley's Power Talk.
Would you come my way?
About 23% haven't gotten any shots. And that distinct minority is causing an awful lot of us, an awful lot of damage for the rest of the country. This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
If the president announced tomorrow we have a vaccine, would you take it? Only if it was completely transparent that other experts in the country could look at it. Only if we knew all of what went into it.
But if Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it.
Now, every analogy limps, but I heard a pretty interesting analogy about this new COVID vaccine mandate for kids that will come into effect starting fall of 2022 and will go along with a teacher vaccine mandate. Basically, teachers will not any longer have the option to just do testing rather than a mandate. That'll also come into effect. It's this idea of, let's say there were a pandemic of teachers dying of obesity. So we make everybody in the school go on a diet. Now, the analogy limps. Admittedly, in the case of obesity, kids aren't necessarily carriers of food, of excessive food for the adults. But you get the drift. In this whole country, the number of 18-year-olds and under who have died of COVID is like 550-something out of 687,000 people who have died. 550 out of 687,000 deaths. And out of the millions and millions and millions of people who have gotten COVID. And yet, we are going to mandate that kids 12 and up get vaccinated starting in fall of 2022. Now, I don't have as much problem with adult mandates. I mean, look, I'm not crazy about mandates, but look, for adults in vulnerable age groups, it makes a lot of sense. Let's get all of the people in the vulnerable age groups vaccinated. All right, then we can go on our merry way. Then the rest of us can be at a relatively low normal risk level, the kind of risk level we saw with things like swine flu, stuff like that, and just go on our merry way. But no. Instead, we have to vaccinate absolutely everybody when it's mostly just this one group of the population that's at risk. And look, I get it. Kids can potentially carry COVID. But if the people who are most at risk are getting vaccinated, are getting boosters, that should be really good protection. Now, and look, I'm not saying, look, if you've got a kid who's of age and the FDA has approved it and you want your kid to be vaccinated, go for it. If you think that that's important, like I think it's objectively evil. But what I am saying is that mandating it at a time when COVID rates are actually going down right now, mandating it when kids are at just so little risk, when schools in Europe are open with kids not wearing masks and they're doing fine, like, it just seems insane to me. Now, what is also insane are some details from the Fresno Bee story that was just published this afternoon. Freaked out Fresno area parents respond to Newsom's student COVID vaccination rule. Now, this has some very interesting details in it about the vaccination rates of teachers in Fresno. And it highlights to me why I think the emphasis is on the wrong syllable. So the story begins. After Governor Gavin Newsom's announcement Friday morning that school children could be required to get the COVID-19 vaccine as soon as January 1st, some Fresno parents were fearful while others felt relieved. Newsom's directive will add the coronavirus vaccine to the California Department of Public Health's list of required shots for school kids attending classes in person, which already include immunizations for measles, mumps, rubella, chickenpox, and polio. By the way, in case you're wondering how the governor is able to do this, the governor got emergency powers from the state legislature. He never got rid of those emergency powers, even after June 15th, which was supposed to be, you know, Freedom Day here in California. The state legislature has not taken his emergency powers back. This means Governor Newsom can just write any laws he wants regarding COVID. California already has the legal structure in place to mandate that kids receive X, Y, and Z vaccines before they go to school. Newsom is simply adding COVID to that list. Anyway, the story continues. Parents in Clovis and Fresno greeted the news with mixed feelings. Katie Jerkovich, a Fresno Unified parent, said she doesn't believe the mandate will be enforced without a fight. It's just the unknown right now. We don't know so much. It's just scary, she said. Anybody who has a kid right now has got to be freaked out. Calvin Fleming, a Clovis Unified parent, said he supports the new rule. I'm glad that Governor Newsom is adding this vaccine to the long list of other vaccines that our kids are required to take to go to school, Fleming said. The vaccines are working and mandates are probably the only way out of this mess. A mandate was probably not the only way out of this mess. Anyway, the new rule applies to both private and public schools, elementary and secondary, and will be phased in by grade span, 7 through 12, and then K to 6. As the FDA approves the shot for each age group, the mandate will follow the next term. All right, so it's starting with 12 and up, but know that this is coming for everyone, for any kid in a public or a private school. A mandate for teachers and staff will also go into effect during the first phase, Newsom said, replacing the option of COVID-19 testing. Friday's announcement comes about 2 weeks ahead of an October 15 deadline for California teachers to be vaccinated or submit to regular testing. Now, this is the amazing thing. In this state already, every healthcare professional has to get vaccinated. There's vaccine mandates for healthcare. There's vaccine mandates all over the place. Teachers who were allegedly so terrified of COVID that they didn't open up schools all last year, somehow, oh, no, no, they don't want to be mandated to take the vaccine. And that's the thing. Teachers' unions, they represent the interests of their labor, and their labor didn't all want to get the vaccine. And this comes to the most fascinating statistics in this story, the most fascinating part of this story. As of late Thursday, this is the story from today, talking about Fresno Unified. As of late Thursday, about 41% of Fresno Unified employees, 41% of Fresno Unified employees, roughly 5,560, had shown proof of vaccination, including about 64% of the teachers. So let me get this straight. 41% of Fresno Unified employees, most of whom are, remember, Fresno Unified's employees are unionized. These people who didn't want the schools to open all last year, who didn't want to open the schools in spite of the fact that the CDC was saying it was safe to open schools. Schools are probably safer than the general population. In spite of all of that CDC guidance that has been eliminated from memory because the teachers' unions got to, you know, Anthony Fauci et al. So this teachers' union that didn't want to go back to work because of COVID concerns, only 41% of them are vaccinated. So what was it? Were you scared to go to school because of COVID? Or do you just not want to work? I mean, you have the thing that makes you safe from COVID. You've got the vaccine available to you, and only 41% of the teachers have been vaccinated. 41% of the staff, 64% of the teachers. But understand, staff are also union members. On Friday, Henry said Fresno Unified School District officials were still reviewing Newsom's new order. I bet they are. If only 41% of their teachers are vaccinated, how do they suppose they're going to get to 100%? Across town at Central Unified School District, about 66% of the district's contracted staff, including teachers, had been fully vaccinated as of Thursday. About 45% of the district's non-contracted staff were fully vaccinated. So, again, not particularly high numbers. So this is the thing. I guess I find this astonishing. I mean, maybe there are just a lot more, I don't know, COVID-resistant teachers in Fresno Unified than I thought. But here you had these labor unions not wanting to go to work because they were scared of COVID all last year. And meanwhile, have had the means available to them for months to get the COVID vaccine, the thing that would solve their fear, and most of them haven't taken it. So what the heck are we talking about? So now we're going to make the kids take it? We're still going to make kids take it, in spite of the fact that we've got countries, plural, in Europe, where kids are going to school, no mask, no vaccine, very, very few problems. Where we have schools been open for a month now, and rates are going down. COVID rates are going down in spite of the fact that schools have been open now for for a month and a half. So how is, I guess I just don't understand the timing that we're going to impose more mandates at the time when this thing is maybe starting to recede a little bit. It's just so insistent. And it brings me, if I ask, what's the end game? What is the time? What is the goal that we will reach where we no longer have to talk about this stuff? What's the goal we have to reach where we don't have to think about it and talk about it, where we can have a week of radio shows without anyone here talking about COVID? That was actually my goal last time I filled in for Trevor. I was like, all right, I'm going to get through 3 hours of Trevor's show and 1 hour of my show and not talk about COVID the whole day. And I was able to do it once. But no, not today. Can't avoid it today. What's the end goal? And it's making me think of what's going on at Princeton University right now. Let me explain what's happening at Princeton. Princeton University mandates all of its students get vaccinated. All of its staff gets vaccinated. 97% of everyone there is vaccinated. You're never in this country or in this state going to get more than 97% of people vaccinated. Heck, you might not get 90% of people vaccinated. They had a small uptick in cases, obviously among people who are vaccinated. And as a result, Princeton has now gone to indoor masking, weekly testing. So if that's how you think about COVID policy, the people who run Princeton, who I think are kind of representative of the brain trust running this state, if you're going to say that a 97% vaccinated populace is just not enough, that's not enough to get you to, we're just going to stop worrying about COVID, then I guess we will literally never stop. Because as long as, you know, I guess Christ said when two or three are gathered in my name, you know, there I am in their midst. Where five or six are gathered, you know, at the urgent care getting their nose swabbed because they've got a weird cold, there it will be. The COVID mandates, the COVID regulations, the governor's taking, you know, extraordinary powers. It will never end. I genuinely think that's the case. All right, I want parents to call in. I want parents to call in and tell me, how are you processing this? How are you feeling? What's going on with you? 559-230-4242. That's 559-230-4242. This is John Girardi in for Trevor on Power Talk. Let me know what you think about the Newsom vaccine mandate for kids.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
So the governor is, as we have heard, mandating for both public schools and private schools that all kids 12 and up starting in the fall, assuming that the FDA gives full rather than emergency approval for COVID vaccines for kids 12 and up. Assuming that, the governor is basically going to have this staggered system where, just like kids who go to schools have to get measles, mumps, rubella shots, they're going to have to get a COVID shot. Or two COVID shots, or three COVID shots, or I don't know, what, booster, who knows? I mean, once you start factoring in the need for boosters, possibly, like, that's where the whole thing goes, I think, goes insane. I mean, if it were genuinely two shots and you're good for the rest of your life, which we had sort of been led to believe at the start, if it's just two shots and you're good for the rest of your life, that's great. We're now learning, oh, apparently that is not the case. It's not two shots and you're good for the rest of your life. It's two shots and it seems for the Pfizer vaccine, the effectiveness starts to wane over time. And this leads me, by the way, if you want to call in 230-4242-559-230-4242, about what parents are going to do. How are you processing it and what are you going to do with your own kid? Now, I've presented the idea of homeschooling, but I think one of the problems I really see here is bringing private schools into this too. This was, and I want to talk about this in terms of the real threat this is to private schools throughout this state. Now, private schools, over the course of this last year, particularly Catholic parochial schools, Christian schools, these were oases of sanity in the midst of public school complete idiocy, where the public schools were all closed down, but you could still send your kid to a Catholic school. And I know this, that several Catholic schools actually really increased their enrollment, bumped up their enrollment, had waiting lists because so many parents were so sick of what was going on in the public schools. And so now, if the private schools are just going to be subject to the exact same rules that the public schools are, I could see a big, I mean, I don't want this, but I could see a lot of parents throwing up their hands in frustrations and say, look, is there nowhere we can hide from these mandates? Is there nowhere we can go to sort of insulate ourselves and our kids from this lunacy? And apparently the answer is no. And the only exception that this gives is for independent study or homeschooling. All right, we're going to head to the phones. Caller whose name is not appearing on the call screen here. Rockwell from Bakersfield. You're on the Trevor Carey Show with John Girardi. What's up, Rockwell?
All right, let's go.
Thank you today.
Hey,
I've got a four-year-old, mm-hmm. and I'm living in a. I cannot believe this. I'm 54 with a four-year-old. I'm living in a state that every place you buy anything at has a Prop 65 sticker saying everything in here is licensed by the state, acknowledged by the state that it's going to cause you cancer. We have a state that the number one leading cause of death is no longer heart disease. It is cancer. Mm-hmm. And we're wearing masks to clear the air in one of the worst air quality states in America yet.
Yeah.
We put a filter over our mouth to not breathe contaminated air, but it's okay to eat Doritos and junk food and feed our kids horrible things that are loaded with poisonous
Right.
We had to pass legislation to put a decal on a plexiglass window made in China to say it's okay that your kid's going to die of cancer, but we're waiving our liability.
But here we are.
Because we're putting a sticker.
Well, right.
What? It's, this is beyond messed up.
It definitely is. I appreciate the call. But yes, it's a completely messed up state in terms of the, it's so funny that here we are releasing this, you know, oh, we need to keep masking, and meanwhile we're walking around here in Fresno as billowing smoke is completely surrounding us from a horrible wildfire that Gavin Newsom's non-policies of stopping wildfires just are allowed to burn and rage and fume and fury. It's insane. All right, we'll go. We got Mike from Visalia. Mike, you're on the Trevor Carey Show with John Girardi. What's up, Mike? All right. Well, I guess Mike wasn't too interested. All right. When we come back, I would like to talk about the grand topic. Do we deserve this? Do we as a state deserve what we are getting here today? Now, I don't deserve it. I didn't vote for the guy. But we as a state had a terrible time of understanding just how much the unpleasantness of this pandemic was, in fact, Gavin Newsom's fault. 559-230-4242. This is John Girardi in for Trevor on Power Talk.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Fluffy bread, fresh tortillas, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real. But Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and seriously, great taste. Made from a new recipe using heart-healthy olive oil and resistant wheat starch that acts as a prebiotic fiber to promote gut health, Hero Bread products have more of the dietary fiber and protein you want without the net carbs and sugar you don't. There's something for every craving. Sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas, plus monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites with no compromise. Like the 2 gram net carb Hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb Hero cheddar biscuit. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout. That's HEROPOD at HERO.co.
All right, and we're back with the Trevor Carey Show. John Girardi in for Trevor. Thank you all so much for tuning in. All right, here we have the governor instituting a mandate for kids to have the COVID vaccine starting at age 12, starting this fall. And I think that to have this as a mandate seems obscene. It makes me question, will there ever be a point at which we're just done with COVID mandates, with masks, with all this stuff? And it seems to me as if no, the answer is just no. It's just never going to be the end. And I start to ask myself, do we deserve this? We had the chance. We had a golden opportunity to get rid of the governor, and we, instead of getting rid of him, he actually got more support than he got in 2018 when he was first elected. He gained support. And fundamentally, you get the governor you deserve, in a sense. You know, this is a democratic form of government. The people vote. They pick the person they want. And in this case, what we see is in 2018 and then again in 2021, the people of California had made it very clear that the kind of person they want in charge is Gavin Newsom. And it's our own fault. It's our own fault for being so idiotic. I think one of the clearest ways to see the idiocy of the voting populace of California is to look at polling data. I did this for a John Girardi show a couple months ago. Look at polling data, assessing parents and their views of how their school district performed in the 2020-2021 academic year. How did your school district perform? Were you satisfied with your school district, your public school district, over that year? And the overwhelming majority of California parents, the overwhelming majority, said, blah, did not like it, did not support it. It was a big majority. Something like 70% of people, the big, big percentage of people were unsatisfied with how their school handled the COVID pandemic. But then there was a second question attached to this survey, and that second question was, do you blame the governor? And an astonishingly small number of Californians said, yeah, I blame the governor. Now, this is the problem, is that apparently these people need a civics lesson about how this state works and the kinds of powers that Gavin Newsom had, all right? As I explained in sort of the first hour of the show, Gavin Newsom received more power than essentially any governor in the history of this state has ever wielded. The state legislature passed an emergency declaration when COVID first hit. An emergency declaration in which they said, yes, we are the legislative branch of government. We have responsibility for law writing, but we are going to delegate our authority to write laws regarding COVID to Gavin Newsom. The governor gets to be both the law writer and the law executor. He gets to execute the laws and he gets to write them when it comes to COVID. Newsom never gave up that power. Never. He has retained that power now since March of 2020. Here we are in September of 2021. So he's had this power for a year and a half. Actually, now we're in October of 2021, rather. So he's had this power for a year and a half. Never gave it up. Didn't give it up back on June 15th. Remember, June 15th was supposed to be California goes back to normal day. Never gave it up. Never let it down. He never ran around. And he won't desert us. All right, sorry, doing Rickrolling the entire audience. So Newsom never gave up that power. And so he wrote all of the new regulations, everything about COVID that was how we were being regulated in this state over the course of 2020. Essentially, everything was emanating ultimately from the governor. From the governor and from the various executive agencies in the state of California that are under his authority, under his control. If you don't like the workman's comp policies that your business was put under during COVID, blame the governor. If you don't like the fact that your church had to be closed for months and months and months and you had to have church services outside, you should blame the governor. If you didn't like the whole color tier system, purple tier, red tier, if you didn't like the way in which it measured things based on things like cases rather than things like hospitalizations, blame the governor. I could go on and on and on, but understand these policies came from the governor. They didn't come from the state legislature. They didn't come from the Centers for Disease Control. It didn't come from Anthony Fauci. They came from the governor. He was in charge. He received this delegated power from the California legislature to write all of our COVID rules. Also, he had this power over schools. Now, with schools, it's a little more complicated because some of this stuff is collectively bargained with the teachers' union. But guess who didn't want to tangle with the teachers' unions when the teachers' unions didn't want to go back to work, even though Anthony Fauci was saying teachers should go back to work, even though Anthony Fauci was saying schools should be open, even though the CDC and everyone with a brain in their head was saying schools should reopen, and California public schools remain shuttered, who decided he wasn't going to mess around with the teachers' unions? Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom owes the teachers' unions. They gave him more money than any other single donor in the 2018 election, the teachers' unions. They gave him more money than anybody.
They run the state legislature. Unions run our state legislature. Understand that. They're the most powerful force in California politics, bar none. It's not the pro-abortion people. It's not the pro-gay marriage people. It's not even the weed lobbyists. No. The most powerful people in Sacramento, bar none, are labor. Organized labor, especially public labor unions, public employee unions, especially teachers. So Governor Newsom was never going to tangle with them. And so this was the critical juncture. Back in February of 2021, rather, Governor Newsom announces, he broadcasts, we've come to an agreement. We've made a deal for reopening our public schools here in California. We've reached an agreement. I've struck a deal with the teachers' unions. What was the deal? The deal was, first, Newsom was dangling $6 billion in front of the teachers' unions to get them to come back to work. All carrot and no stick. So he's dangling $6 billion. He's setting deadlines for if you open by this date, we'll give you this much. If you open by that this much, by that date, we'll give you that much. This led to obscene and absurd situations like San Francisco Unified opening for like one day at the very end of the school year so they could get $5 million. Purely so they could get the money. No educating was done by anybody. It was literally the last day of school and they got like $5 million extra from the state. So not only that, but there was also this crucial reality. The teachers' unions, they didn't mind this school reopening plan that the governor announced. Why? Because they got the one thing they wanted. The one thing they wanted was, we're not negotiating one contract with the governor on one side of the table and the statewide unions on the other side, where all the teachers all throughout the state are subject to the same negotiation. Nuh-uh. No, not doing it. The governor could have done that. He could have set one standard. He could have challenged the teachers' unions and said, you guys got to be open by this date. You have to accept this standard for reopening. But no, he didn't do it. Instead, Newsom gave in on the teachers' union's single most insisted upon negotiating point, which is called losing the negotiation. Or maybe willfully losing the negotiation because he likes the teachers' unions. He wants to do what they want to do. Newsom allowed each local teachers' union to negotiate with each local school board for reopening. This gave the union maximal leverage and maximal power. Okay? School boards are often dominated by union-picked members. Okay? Anytime you are voting during an election year and you see a billboard for somebody that says so-and-so running for school board endorsed by Fresno teachers. If you vote for that person, what you're saying is I want the teachers union to have both sides of a negotiating table. Don't do it. So if you don't like what happened at your school last year, you should have voted Gavin Newsom out because it was his fault. He played softball when he should have played hardball with the teachers unions. They ran all over him. Your schools didn't open last year. And somehow, in spite of the fact that you didn't like how your school performed, you still let him stay in office as governor. 559-230-4242. This is John Girardi in for Trevor. When we come back, we'll talk about the hapless Gray Davis and how he's got a raw deal compared with Newsom. This is John Girardi in for Trevor on Power Talk.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
It's been a delight filling in for Trevor, but after this hour is complete, don't go anywhere. The John Girardi Show comes up right after from 6 to 7 here on Power Talk. So you can get even more John Girardi.
even more John Girardi, in case 3 hours wasn't enough. 3 hours a day, every day, that's all we ask. That was the old Sean Hannity line. 4 hours a day for today will be all you can probably stand. So anyway, I encourage you to listen to the John Girardi Show. Always a good time. To close out the show, I just want to give a little homage to the memory of Gray Davis. Gray Davis, some of you may remember, former governor of California, who was recalled in 2003, recalled and replaced by Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I wish to recall Gray Davis today because here we have Gavin Newsom, who, I mean, Trevor and I were sitting here in the studio on recall night. We weren't stunned that Newsom escaped a recall. We were just stunned at how overwhelmingly he escaped the recall. I mean, probably the two of us sort of thought at least majority chance he was going to escape recall, that, you know, maybe it would be 55 to 45, maybe it would be, you know, 53 to 47. We thought it would be close. It wasn't even close. And yet here this guy is, never-ending COVID regulations, now going to mandate all kids get the vaccine in order to go to a public or a private school. Just never-ending COVID stuff. The EDD getting bilked for $30 billion by unemployment scammers. Wildfires raging constantly. I mean, just going around Fresno, it's like Mordor today. Just smoke throughout the air, hacking and coughing my brains out. The DMV's a mess. I mean... Why did Gray Davis get recalled? Allow me to refresh your memory. We had a bunch of blackouts. Oh, by the way, gas is $80 gazillion per gallon. When Gray Davis was governor, his great sin, the great sin that spurred his recall, was that he increased vehicle registration fees and we had a bunch of blackouts. That's it. That's all he did. The poor guy. I mean, all this guy did was increase a tax, and we had blackouts. A problem that I'm sure was not all his fault. And yet, with Gavin Newsom, I think we can say there were a lot more things that are blameworthy for him. I mean, EDD has been a mess for a while. He was lieutenant governor for 8 years before he was elected in 2018. Really? He had no forewarning. I mean, I just feel like, you know, the blackouts probably weren't all Gray Davis's fault. Newsom can say, well, the EDD wasn't my fault. It wasn't my... Okay, they probably are equally culpable for those things. The EDD thing is way worse than the blackouts. $30 billion the state was bilked out of by scammers. And nobody caught it and stopped it. I mean, I just feel like nothing Gray Davis did that resulted in him getting recalled was as bad as like the fourth worst thing that Gavin Newsom did over the course of his time. Wildly expanding homelessness, a bad economy, growing economic inequality. I mean, what does this guy have to do to get recalled? I honestly think Newsom is at the point where he could, as they said about Donald Trump, I guess, that he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and he would still not lose votes. Like, it's unbelievable to me. And I think the only explanation for it is that the California public school system has graduated since 2003 18 years worth of voters. 18 years worth of California public school graduates replacing 18 years of the greatest generation. And it's just, this is what they want. I mean, it's not even that. I mean, in 2008, this state was conservative enough that at the same time that they elected Barack Obama by a large majority, we defined marriage in our state constitution as being between a man and a woman in 2008. That recently. 2008. It was 13 years ago. It wasn't a million years ago. It was 13 years ago. And I just think the state has changed so much. Just the dominant power in the legislature of the teachers' unions, the dominant power in our media, the dominant power over political spending that the media exercises, where people like the CEO of Netflix is throwing $1.5 million to the no on the recall campaign. I mean, they just, I just feel bad. I feel bad looking at poor Gray Davis getting recalled for stuff that was way less egregious than anything Gavin Newsom has done. You get the governor you deserve. Well, folks, that'll do it for the Trevor Carey Show, but stay tuned. The John Girardi Show coming up next right here on Power Talk.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.